Cropod contains language and themes which may not be suitable for anyone, but what is suitable for everybody is the great stuff from our friends at The Famous, iconic wear for bears. Go check out thefamousheadwear.co.uk. Great stuff over there. And if you want to win some stuff from them, scroll down, hit the Buy Me a Coffee link in the show notes on this episode that you're listening to right now. We give away stuff from them every single month here on the Cropod. So check them out, thefamousheadwear.co.uk.
Thank you so much for visiting our plant, Dr. Kissinger.
It was fun.
We'll let you know if your glasses turn up.
Yes, well, I'm sure I left them in the car. No one must know I dropped them in the toilet. Not I, the man who drafted the Paris Peace Accords.
Pulled in just behind the bridge. He lays her down. He frowns. Gee, my life's
a welcome back to another episode of the Cropod. And of course, joining me. Hello. Sorry, everybody, for taking a week off, but you know, we'll come to that reason. But joining me, of course, Mr. David Edgar. Hi, David.
Hello, everyone. Yes, Shane back. Injured still, but taking a pain killing. Well, I was going to say injection, but a lot of drugs to be with.
I'm doing the alternate thing where, you know, it's like acetaminophen every 2 hours, like every 4 hours, but ibuprofen on the 2 hours between. So yep. I'm just constantly rotating back and forth. Plus, you know, marijuana and alcohol and pretty much anything I can put in my body that will.
You know, they always say you should check out homeopathic medicine. cannabis grows in the ground, man. I mean, you know,
so it's potatoes, and that's what vodka is made out of, right? This is all natural, is what
I'm doing.
Do you
ever remember that great Bill Hicks jokes where he talks about marijuana and he's like, where did I leave that? Oh, shit, I left it on the earth. They'll think they're supposed to use it.
And Todd's back. Hi, Todd.
Hey, how are you? Good to have you back.
Yeah. Sorry, guy. Honestly, like, well, as you guys have been witness to, I can't even properly hold a mobile to type.
Well, yeah, oh, my God. Folks. It's his wrist. And it does look as though, as I mentioned last week on the show, it looks when he types as though he's had a stroke. And again, I've had strokes.
I literally thought it was a type with your ass challenge.
Yeah. I mean, it's honestly looked like a Kerry fail tweet.
Yeah. Yes.
Every time we've had a message from Shane this week. It's quite interesting, though, and I was thinking about this. This is my bit, Shane. That there are certain injuries that elicit sympathy and certain ones that do not. And it makes no sense. And I'll give you a for example. Say you say to someone, I've hurt my leg, right? Yeah. I've hurt my thigh. Something fell on it and it's all, you know, sore and bruised and battered. Oh, mate, that sounds horrible. You all right? You're like, I am all right. Wee bit painful to walk on, you know, and you do that. 6 inches to the right or left, and you get hit in the balls by something, and you say, I've been hit in the balls. You go, fucking yeah, you dick. And it's the same with you, right? See, if you'd said, I have broken my elbow, right? I've fallen and I've broken my elbow. People go, Jesus, mate. Oh, that sounds awful. And you go, yeah, I know. You say, I've hurt my wrist. They go, wanker.
Doesn't matter.
Is it your wanking arm?
We were at a birthday party for a one-year-old kid on Sunday. One-year-old kid birthday parties are just excuses for adults to drink, right?
Of course.
That kid was hammered.
But no, I mean, even people I don't know are like, oh, so you're getting the stranger now, huh? I'm like, like a couple weeks, the Saturday after Thanksgiving here, we always have our big holiday festival in Rockford. And well, and, you know, for people who maybe haven't been here since I broke this wrist back in the early part of COVID when I got hit by a car. For people who haven't been here the whole time. And so I was
anybody else, by the way, anybody else says I got hit by a car, I go, oh mate, that's terrible. Shane says I got hit by a car, we go obviously and giggle.
Yeah, well, for people, I could say it just, it's so just easy passing, like I got hit by a car. So, yeah.
Anyway. For people who don't know what the backstory is of this podcast, we're just tuning in. First of all, hello, new listeners. If you want to know sort of like the stretch and breadth of Shane's injuries, just watch season 2 of ER, beginning to end. It's basically that.
Basically, that's yes.
No, but so we were out for the holiday. Well, she was a friend of hers was playing a concert. It was actually, well, one of Robin Zander's kids. I think I sent you the video there, his daughter.
Yes.
Very lovely singer, has her own band here. And so, you know, I was just chilling at home. I was watching the Tennessee game. I didn't really want to go out that much, but you know, she was out with her friends and they're getting drunk. So I'm trying to be responsible and make sure I'm sober and blah, blah, blah. And I get there, and her one friend is already, like, she couldn't sit in her chair, you know, like, that kind of drunk. So now she's trying to leave to walk to her car, which is blocks away, to then drive home. So I'm like, no. All right, I'm taking her home. I'll be right back. I parked maybe a block away from the bar that we were at there. It took me over half an hour to walk her from the exit of the bar to the car, during which time she fell over at least 3 times. And of course, trying to catch her, I popped the wrist. And I thought at first it was just like ligament damage. You know, I was telling you guys, like, I thought I just.
I'd let her fall, by the way.
Again, she still fell a few times, even with me trying. But yeah, now there's like a nice grinding motion from like where the original fracture was being opened back up. That there's a bunch of chunks in there just kind of floating around doing their bone chunk thing. So, yeah. Fun shit.
Nice.
Yeah.
All funny. It's all fun and games until someone loses an eye.
See, that's the one. Yeah. See, I was thinking about, I would like to amend our injury list that we were discussing a few weeks back. You know, I think what we settled on, ribs. Ribs usually the worst just because you can't
Yes.
live. But I'm gonna put wrist back on that list because I forgot how shitty this is.
Thumb as well. Let's put thumb on that list because it's, you know, as you've proved,
my wrist.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's doing that.
Yeah. Because the thumb, of course, and the wrist work in tandem, as Dr. Yes. Mick put it in The Simpsons.
yes.
The thigh bone's connected to the other bone, the other bone connected to the red thing.
The red thing's connected to my wristwatch.
you see, sing while you're working, it turns anything into our favorite Dr. Mike once we says to Homer, these drugs will make the operation seem like a beautiful dream, then knocks him out and injects the drugs into his own arm.
Yeah. My favorite one is the when he goes in for heart surgery and Homer's going under, and the last thing he sees is Dr. Nick pointing at his chest going, what the hell is that?
I also like the, and I use this one a lot, the most rewarding part was when he gave me his money.
I was some surgery. I think it was when I was getting my wisdom teeth cut out. But they, you know, they had the, like, general anesthesia. Because I was doing all four at once, and they were kind of like impacted, so you know, they had to break them out of my face basically. But I was going under on the general anesthesia, and the doctor told some. I wish I could remember the joke, but it was a terrible joke about astronauts and something. It made no sense, and because you know when you start to slip into that, you can't really talk. So all I did was go. And he went, oh, what, didn't like the joke, Shane? And I went, uh-uh. He goes, too bad. And that's the last thing I remember before.
I got that as well, by the way, because I went to the dentist and he was like, it's a wisdom tooth coming through. And I was like, all right. He goes, right, there's two options. He said, one, I can take it out under local anesthetic here and you get the, you know, the frozen face and you know, all that.
Drew on yourself for a while.
And and then when the other three come in, he said, and looking at them, you're not far off. He said, you get them all taken out as they come in. I said, right. He goes, and the cost for that is, I think it worked out about 160 quid each time, right? He said, okay. Or I can put, I phone the hospital and I make an appointment there, and you go in and they put you under general anaesthetic and you get all four of them out in one go, and it's free. I said, well, that's a really fucking stupid offer, that one. And 500 quid for 4 days of pain. Or the only thing about it is, Shane, as you'll know, first of all, your face goes into a T shape because your feet swell so much, right? So your face is like an upside down T. And the other thing is, usually when you can't eat, it's because, you know, you have a stomach bug, stomach upset. So you don't really want to eat either, so it's not too bad. With this, you can't eat, but you're fucking starving.
You really want to.
So yeah, I was doing the thing of, you know, right, I'll stick, you know, a packet of crisps in a blender. I'll stick everything in a blender.
I think it was like the third day, and I finally, I like ramen noodle soup, you know, like the little classic package shit, because it's soft as hell. Whatever, it was gonna be like the first thing that wasn't applesauce or pudding, you know.
And so
I'm sat there, I'm eating the soup, and like I'm, you know, I was doing something on my computer, fucking, and I look down and the bowl's just full of blood because one of the noodles had gotten caught in one of the sutures and ripped out, so it's just bleeding all over. I was like, well, that's a new one.
For anyone whoever has it done, mashed potato with gravy.
Oh, yeah.
I loved that for three days. Well,
look, here's the thing. You like the food anyway, and now you have an excuse to eat it for every goddamn meal.
Well,
like,
nobody can bitch
about you having mashed potatoes and gravy for breakfast.
When my brother-in-law apparently was, the family tells this story all the time, he had his jaw wired at one point. And so the only thing he could eat was whipped eggs and marsala. So he got scrambled eggs and booze every morning.
At the end of the day, it's also a painkiller. So
yes,
you know, there's definite logic to that one there. Mm-hmm. Toothache we had on the list as well. There was an interesting thing on followfollow.com in the non-football bit. Right, where a chap said, and he titled it "Old Men Shouting at Clouds," and of course that piqued my interest as it's a hobby of mine.
Simpsons,
also the basis of this show. I went, and he was actually complaining about his father doing it. He says, "My father's got to that age now, where everything." And I had to say, I said, well, firstly, we're kind of the other way about. Everyone always comments on how my father is lovely, but I'm a torn-faced cunt. So we're slightly the opposite in that regard. But isn't it just a circle of life thing? And some people were, of course, complaining about younger people. And I thought, well, you know, on the one hand, right, don't know what you boys think about this.
Mm-hmm.
Young people, we have bequeathed to them, you know, no job security, ever-changing world, no public services worthy of the name.
Right, you're never buying a house.
No matter how...
The planet you're inheriting is on fire like a baked potato.
I hate to say, anyone under 30 right now, see, despite what you're told, see if you cancel Netflix and stop buying coffee, you still won't be able to buy a house, right?
Enjoy the television and drink your coffee.
You're not getting anything else. We've got these fuckers locked up. They're not building any more of them. And we own them all, right? So marry into one. I feel really... And then kids, you know, when they fuck up, it gets plastered all over social media. And I genuinely...
I don't know how the fuck I would have made it through college.
You wouldn't have. I wouldn't have. We'd be dead, right? You
know, like we just got Facebook. What was it? Like my senior year, sophomore year was college, or Facebook came out, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know. Somewhere around there. Like, you know, my second year of university.
Yeah,
so it wasn't really a thing then.
I would genuinely, if you offered me a pill today and said, David, take this and you'll be 18 again, I wouldn't take it because growing up now. But then I had to balance it between, but young people are very annoying, right?
Yes.
And they talk the biggest amount of shit. But isn't that what they're supposed to do?
Yes.
Didn't we do it? We just didn't record it and put it out for people.
Exactly.
To go, look at this young person talking about, you know.
Yeah, I didn't have a YouTube channel, but, you know, now I have this.
Yeah, right. But now we're old and bitter, so it makes more sense, right, to do this. But, yeah, it got me thinking towards that. But also, as we've seen ably demonstrated this week, Shane, older people on social media, your likes are visible to other people.
Dave, you mind if I ask you a question quick, pal?
Go on. Go on, yes.
The setup is the question. We all know what's coming next.
Yeah, this is brilliant. Elder Celtic fan on the Twitter machine. Mm-hmm.
James Forrest Sr., I believe.
Well, yeah. The guy, as he pointed out, just to really drag his son into the embarrassment that was to follow, this guy, he was, and this will shock, you know, people listening to us who are Rangers supporters, he was complaining about the conspiracy. We need to get music chain every time we say conspiracy.
I'll come up with a drop.
Yeah,
whatever the music was they used for, like, that the suspenseful gopher, whatever that was. Dun, dun,
dun. That's what we need. Everything, the conspiracy, right, in inverted commas. So he was banging on about this. And, of course, a few Rangers fans then started going through his social media account. And wow.
Yep.
wow. There are, for those of you who lead sheltered lives, there are on the interwebs quite a lot of young ladies who are either in a state of undress or even further into something you can get up to when you're in a state of undress.
Well, I think there might be something further up in them.
Yes. they take photographs of this and they post it on Twitter. And I find that a bit weird considering some of the stuff you can get banned for from Twitter, but you can put pictures of you airtight, I believe is the modern phrase. And you can do this. And some people, for reasons best known to themselves, like these posts. It shows up in your feed, guys.
Yes.
And, you know, kind of a hard one to explain to the grandkids.
But, like, I'm just going to tell you guys, you know, there's a certain account out there that if you get asked, could I ask you a quick question, please? Mm. It's too late.
Right. Yes.
We know you get horny on Twitter, pal.
Uh-huh. What's even worse is that, you know, if the kids are, you know, young-ish, is like, you know, he goes to a family function, his you know, grandkids are there, it's like, oh, I brought my friend Becky, and he just looks at her and goes, ugh.
Well, I had a weirdly, I would say similar, but certainly in the ballpark thing of, I moved back to my hometown after, 25 years away, right?
Yeah.
And I had never planned to, actually, if you'd asked me to do the opposite, but I loved the house. It came up at a time we were looking, end of story, right? So we moved back here. And I hadn't been here much at all in that intervening 25 years. You know, if I was ever here, it would generally just be a visit to my folks. So, you know, being about occasionally, not often, because as listeners know, I'm not big on the outside. But I was going up to the game one day on the train, and this boy comes over, I'd say sort of, you know, early 20s, and he comes over and he says, "Hi, David." And I was like, "Oh, hello, mate." And he's like, "I'm a listener and I enjoy the show." I said, "Oh, thanks very much, mate." And he goes, yeah, you know, subscriber, blah, blah. And talked to me about football, and he said, "My mum knows you." And I was like, "Oh god." Uh-oh. Right. And then he comes round,
Ooga.
And I was like, "Oh god," because any of the women I knew at school was very specifically for a reason. And he comes round and he goes, "Mum," and she's looking at me dead sheepish, and yes, and I was like, "Oh, for fuck." And I was like, "Hello," and she's like, "Hi, David, how you doing?" I was like, "Oh, good, I haven't seen you. Let's not go there." in a long, long time.
Seen you from the front in years.
Yeah. God, it must have been that. Wasn't that after that night in the tournament, right? We went back to your flat. Yeah.
Do you still like dumpsters?
Luckily, very luckily, the age didn't work out. I was not directly involved in the provenance of this young man, it's fair to say. I mean, it was long before she'd got with Stewart. But yeah, just the embarrassments that can come when you got the ghosts from your hometown when you return after a long time.
Oh, yeah. I live close enough to mine. That's, you know, everyone's like, somebody else show up here, but you're on my turf then, you know? It's not the return home. God, like, well, you know what? Was that last fall? Was my high school reunion? And it was my 20-year fucking whatever. And I was just like,
oh, yeah.
Oh, did you man. Go? Yeah, I went, but it was the day of the second Mariners Blue Jays game, the one okay. where we were down like 9-1 I was sufficiently fucking drunk by the time I rocked up to this thing, and maybe on some other substances too if I remember correctly. So yeah, it was a good time from what I don't remember. Thankfully I didn't have to drive all the way back up here, so it was
right
good.
No, we don't really do that over here. I think it's maybe going to become a more of a thing between the kids, because when I was at school in Scotland, we didn't have proms and, you know, like graduation hoodies and stuff. Yeah, now they all do that. That has came right. over here quite. So I wonder if that will be the next
one
thing.
More Americanized aspect.
Yeah, the only thing we had that was vaguely close was that they were just bringing in, when I was leaving school, yearbooks, and you had to write on, you know, David's plans, and I was like, university. And my head teacher pulled me up because it had got through. I wish you hadn't noticed this. It had got through to the final. Basically, the teacher clears the yearbook, right? And he picked up this, and he was the only one where it put, under ambitions, I'd put fuck wit genocide. Right. And he called me in and he said, get that fucking changed. I was like, he's like, fuck up, right? Which is probably a good thing that I didn't have that against me. But but I wonder if they'll bring that in. I don't know. I just think it would be weird. I'm not sure. I want to turn up and see, you know, and people see me kind of quite, you know, bald and old and grizzled.
Yeah,
and,
right.
Know. And also, because I have such a weird job, see, explaining to people what it is, the amount of time I spend doing, like, with people, so what is it you do? And you're like, well, it's kind of hard to explain. So you're a journalist? Well, no, not really.
Not right, really.
So is it radio? No, it's not radio. No, it's kind of
I talk. There you go.
Right.
I talk to my pals, in particular one show for an hour and a half, about moments such as this.
This, yes.
And you get paid for this. Miraculously, I do, yes. And I'm anybody that, fuck's sake, we eke two amounts out of the crow pod. There's mine and there's Shane's. Todd, you're just a fucking simp, mate. For
yeah, I know. Of the three stooges, I would be Larry.
You would be Larry. Well, hey. Only Shane can be curly. You and me are fucked on that score. There's no way that we're allowed to do. Oh, there was a great tweet the other week. I meant to tell you both, but a guy had tweeted. He was in Istanbul Airport. I don't know the name of it, but there were obviously guys ready to go on his plane who had all the head bandages on.
Yeah.
So
for
hair transplants, obviously. And he said, Turkey, the capital of these shame-filled embarrassments to the bald community. Fucking live with it.
I'm still convinced that's why Boyd went there for the 4 months.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Comes back with dreadlocks.
I'm glad to get something out of it, right enough, because, you know, Scottish players that go to we'll pay you 50 grand a week. The only thing is they don't specify what week.
Right. Yes.
And I'll never understand, you know, the players, they go over there and then they come back and they go, yeah, you know, they promised me this, but I didn't get it. And it's like, yeah, there are only 8,647 previous examples of that, right? Including several of your ex-teammates. Did it not occur to you?
Yeah.
Go up and go, here, remember you were in Turkey for 4 months? Well, what happened there?
Did you get a single pay packet the whole time that you were there?
Yeah. This is what Turkish clubs do. They sign you at massive wages and see if they feel, as can happen, that, you know, you don't settle in, they don't want you. They don't fucking pay you. Right.
Oh, right.
So you leave, and they know that you can take them through, you know, the court of arbitration and go to you. But they figure out, we'll eventually have to pay you, but you'll leave before the end of your contract. So this is a pretty standard Turkish football tactic.
Yeah.
Signing. So yeah, either go there and be brilliant or don't fucking go there.
Yeah. Exactly.
Because you're not getting paid. No. Yeah, I want to point out just again as a testament to how poorly I felt and still feel, I missed the shows around not only the AGM, which I fucking love.
Right.
But also I couldn't even get up to talk about Henry Kissinger dying. That's I have lived 39 years of my life waiting for that son of a bitch to die.
I assumed you still had a hard on.
Oh, well, that would have been really unfortunate with the whole wrist thing, wouldn't it? Yeah. You know, he'd need to be doing that old schoolboy tactic of saying to your girlfriend, look, it hurts if you don't touch it.
Right.
The first of May, you've said that every male in this fucking show has said that at some point. Age 17, you've said to your then girlfriend, look, come on, but it's a lie, girls, by the way. Don't be fooled by it.
Yeah, for
all the
under 18 girls listening to this program.
Yeah. Well, that's what would worry me. See, I've never taken one of these pills, you know, blue pills that popular, right?
No.
And I really don't understand. Young people apparently buy them sort of illegally and take them. Well, they're legal now, I think. They're over the counter now.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, at that age, I didn't, you know, if anything, it was the opposite problem. Is that, you know, going up to, you know, do a report at university and you're like, get that, hitting it with a not right now. You know that way you're sitting in class at university, you go, right, I'm about to do my report. The last thing I need right now is an erection, and it is the last thing you'll get before you make that walk up there. But yeah, you take, and my understanding of them is that they're there for hours then.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. You can
do ring toss at one point.
Yeah, I
well, isn't that, they always have like the warnings or the disclaimer. You guys don't have advertisements.
Erections lasting for more than 36 days. Please consult your physician.
If you have an erection that lasts longer than 4 hours, or what?
Right.
Like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. I would faint. I mean, it's hard enough to get my blood. See, the problem that I have, right, is that, well, my arteries are as tight and furry as, you know, Yogi Bear's asshole.
Sure.
So I have enough problem getting blood.
Hey, boo-boo.
I have enough blood to bother getting blood pumping where it's supposed to go when there's no call on it in other departments.
Right.
You know, if for 4 hours a lot of it was concentrated in the one area, I genuinely don't think I could survive that.
Yeah. Speaking of university style erections, I used to do summer terms.
The co-op terms episode, by
yeah.
Way.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Hey, I used to have to pull all nighters to get assignments done, and then I went to classes.
Sorry. Hey, you said pull. Well, yeah, talking pull. About erections, I can't let that go. I'm sorry.
That thread is tenuous.
Yeah.
But, I would stay up all night and get the assignments done, and then I would go to class and just say to myself, okay, if I can just, I'll have some coffee, I'll take a nap in between classes, I'll, you know, finish off, and then by 3 o'clock I'm done. I can go home and sleep. What the problem is that your sleep cycle is all screwed up.
Yep.
Your morning wood just comes random while you're wearing short pants in a lecture hall.
No. Nobody wants to see that.
Right. Just suddenly, you're writing, and then suddenly everyone wonders why I'm slamming my hands on the desk and moving my binder forward.
Yeah. It's so true. And as soon as you start thinking about it, then that's it, guaranteed, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Please don't go. It's like, oh, what, me?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. did you call me? Well, no, no, the opposite. Yeah, but I'm up now. Yeah, but yeah. No. And it's sitting in a doctor's reception, right? If you've got a female doctor, it's a happening.
Yeah.
See, this is great. This is what they call, folks. You're getting a wee bit of an education here. This is what they call observational humor, right? Which is what... Yes. I was going to say which Americans sort of invented and liked, but it kind of spread to Britain as well. But I do always like the American version of it, right? I went to a comedy club in... Because, you know, as we demonstrate on this show, there are a lot of similarities in our humor, right? But there are also quite wide gaps. Like, you guys think Seinfeld is funny despite its evident unfunniness.
Jesus right? Christ.
So, it's not funny. It's, you know another thing that's not funny? Peanuts. Right. Oh,
Charles Schultz cartoon?
Yeah, it's not funny.
No, neither is Garfield. The funniest thing about Garfield was Garfield minus Garfield.
Yes.
Which was one of the...
It just looked like an existential crisis for that guy.
It's just John breaking down.
Yeah.
Calvin and Hobbes was funny.
No question.
Far Side's funny. But yeah, I don't get it. But I was in this comedy club in New York one time, right? And I went in, and it did impress me right enough because it said 4-drink minimum. God, I wish they brought that in Scotland. Well, no, rather than don't get too drunk, it's literally
2 weeks in, there'd be nothing but fires.
I loved it, man. It was like, and my wife at the time, she's like, I don't want 4 drinks. I've got you covered, honey. Don't worry about this. Don't worry, right? We're sitting there, and there were actually a couple of really funny people on. And like any comedy club, I'm sure you'll back me up this, Todd, if you go to a night where it's, you know, you're not buying specific tickets to see someone, you're just going along on a flyer. Yeah. Yeah. Some will be good, some will be inexperienced, some will be working through new material, and it'll range, but they don't charge you much, right?
Right, for those kind exactly. Of
shows. So it's all well and good. But there was one guy who really, really wanted to... I started calling him Rupert Pupkin after, you know, Robert De Niro's character in The King of Comedy.
Okay.
I can tell you how funny he is. But his observational humour was along the lines of sort of like... You know, I was walking down the street the other day and my girlfriend's head exploded, right? And everyone in there was, that happened to me. That's hilarious. And I'm like, what the fuck? You know, don't you just hate, right, when you take your car out for a spin and it turns into a turtle? What? You're like, that happened to me. Oh, my God, yeah. I'm like, guys, right? Just because it's observational humor doesn't mean that it is in any way accurate to our lives.
I just think it's great. I think it's great that you got to see Andy Kaufman. That's pretty cool. I told you about a friend of mine that saw Chris Rock at one of those places, right? Did I ever tell you this?
I don't think so, no.
So this is a testament to the work process. Because my buddy went down to New York, kind of like you did, went into a comedy club. It's one of these places where you never know who's going to show up.
Oh.
And sure as shit, here comes, ladies and gentlemen, I can't believe I get to say this, here's Chris Rock. So 2 minute applause, standing ovation, whatever.
Obviously.
And then he goes up and does 7 minutes, is not animated or anything. He's literally just talking through the microphone and kind of bombing. And my buddy... like messages me, is like, you will not believe what happened tonight. I saw Chris Rock and went, oh, that's great. No, it was not. And so he's just like, yeah, he barely got a laugh for like, you know, 6 minutes or whatever. And then 6 months later, his new special came out and my buddy messaged me and said, hey, remember what I said about Chris Rock in New York? Forget I said anything. Cause that's how he works on his material. Like he doesn't like when he's on stage, when he's trying out the new stuff, he doesn't pace. He's just like, he goes in for what the concept and the wording is and some key word choices he wants to try out. And if he can get a reaction doing nothing, then when it gets amped up in the context of a show, that's when he goes, that's when he knows, oh, I've got some. So it's like, oh, what a cool process. Like to eat. But here's the thing though. He's Chris Rock.
Just go eat shit for
fun. He's Chris Rock. He can eat shit whenever he wants. If I eat shit, I don't get booked again. Like that's.
He's not going to struggle with it. It's a very interesting process to see. I remember years, oh God, obviously because he's been dead since 94. I went to see Bill Hicks in Edinburgh.
Yeah.
I was 16, right? And obviously he didn't play many Scottish. And this is is pre-internet where you got loads of clips. And, the reason I knew about this was I saw his special on Channel 4 over Christmas. They showed
the old HBO special.
Relentless, which is still, I think, one of the funniest fucking 60 minutes. Just absolutely fucking genius. And he was playing in Edinburgh, which, one way, I found that out by the NME Gig Guide. Every Wednesday you had to buy the New Musical Express and you had to go to the back, see the gig guy, and that's how you found out about gigs, kids. And you then had to fucking go and physically buy the bastard tickets separately. You had to fucking go. You couldn't just turn up on the night or order online. There was no online. You had to just fucking go, right? So bought tickets, went through. Luckily, a friend's big brother took me and my friend, because we were only 16. And we go in, and Bill Hicks, right, who... amazing, this legendary comedy fan. He fucking died up there. He bombed something chronic. But of course, because I'm 16 and a fan, I'm doing that thing of going, ha, 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 ha. me and my friend, we are not, and we're blaming the audience for him absolutely bombing, right? Because we are loyal fans.
Yeah. So it was a big room, Krusty. All the laughs went to the
I guess you're right, kid.
It was the acoustic. It was the acoustic spell. But it was just so funny because, it did different things. Again, he was trying out some new materials. It wasn't an expensive gig at all. But it was just so funny because now, of course, I guarantee you, everyone who was in that fucking room, right?
Yeah.
Tells people about it. I saw Bill Hicks back in
1983. Well, there's a name for the phenomenon, like, because if you ask or if people volunteer, there's somewhere around like 2 million people that saw Will Chamberlain score 100 points in the basketball.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
When there were only 4,300 people in attendance
right.
at the game.
Scottish, the Scottish version of that is the Clash when they played the Apollo in Glasgow, which I think held about 2,000, and it was sold out. So famously, Joe Strummer helped a couple of people off the street in through their dressing room window. Right, and there's like a photograph of this, but it was literally like a group of four fans who were hanging about to say, going, you know, let us in kind of thing. So the amount of people that, because I
are one of those four people.
The amount of people in the Glasgow music scene, particularly in the 90s, who would tell you, you know that Joe Strummer thing, and you're like, yeah, and at first you go, oh my fuck it, because again I was only 1920. Yeah. Oh my fucking god! And they're like, yeah, and the other one was, and we knew Shirley Manson,
of course,
before right. Because she was a backing singer for, I think, Goodbye Mr. McKenzie, Scottish band for the 80s, yep. Right? And then she suddenly no one thinks of her, and then she turned up in Garbage and is fucking, just like worldwide superstar. Right. Yeah. So that was the other one. But after about the 35th guy who went, you know that Clash thing, I'm like, you get helped in through the window.
That alleyway became a clown car.
Oh, mate, the fucking Wembley Stadium couldn't hold the people that came in through that fucking window that night. Yeah. It's a very strange phenomenon to do. I also had a mate who would do it with football matches. And one time he really fucked up because he was talking about the 2002 Scottish Cup final. And he's like, oh, I was so drunk at that. When Lovenkrantz scored, I just ended up fucking sliding right down the steps in the aisle at Hampden. I was like, no, you didn't. And he's like, what do you mean? I said, no, I know you weren't at the game because you complained to me the week before and saying, I'm on holiday. I can't go to the game. I was like, you missed the game. This is a new invention that has happened to you. Oh, are you sure? I'm fucking positive. You were not at that game. You and I both fucking know it.
Yeah. And when you Mandela affect yourself, you have a problem.
Yeah. At least if you're going to lie, try and keep, make sure you know who it was that you lied to.
Yeah.
You gotta check your boxes on that.
Yeah, I was like, mate, that's a story for new friends, not for ones who knew you at the time. Because I'm aware of that. It's just an interesting call. So can I just say to the listeners, by the way, going to drop a story I've never told before. 1980, when I was 2, I went to see The Clash in Glasgow.
Right. Ah, nice.
And I didn't have a ticket, right? So what I did was, right, when I got off the train at Central, I toddled around because, you know, it was hard to walk when I was two. Round to the back of the Apollo. Oh, great old Glasgow venue. And Joe Strummer helped me in through the window.
is that a hand job off Debbie Harry too? Wasn't that?
I met Miss Harry, we exchanged numbers, but I never got around to calling her because at the time I didn't have fully formed digits that would allow me to dial on the old phone. it remains a regret. Also, my parents had, as I don't know if you guys had this in there, this was a staple of Scottish life. I'm not even sure if it was in England. Our listeners can maybe tell me. We would have a phone in the hall, right? And it would be on a little table that had it was kind of like a sideways table, right? That had a stool.
Oh, yeah, the long.
With a bit for the telephone book and the yellow pages, right? With a bit to it. But they also, because the old rotary phones, they had a lock that you put into one of any of the number circles. And it meant you couldn't dial the phone. And my parents did that to save us running up enormous phone bills. So I never got that date with Debbie Harry that I would have had. By God, I attacked that rider that night. I says to Joe, he walked out, he went, "Do you want a beer or some water?" And I said, I don't suppose you've got any formula milk. And he's like, "Hang on a minute, we'll just put the kettle on and then we'll do that thing where you test the temperature on your elbow."
Oh, God. You know what? Fuck it. That's a good way to finish the first half. We'll
be okay. Right. Yeah.
All right, welcome back to part two of the Crow Pod. As always, go check out our friends, thefamousheadword.co.uk, blueroomart.co.uk. I'm trying to get emails out, trying to take care of shit. Please don't bother Graham about the scarves. Any delays right now are my fault. But also, if you were a winner from last month, I haven't been able to type to put a fucking list together because, right now, this is okay because I'm just sat here. And my arms resting. But when I get done with this, I'm going to have to piece the show together and try not to murder people as a result of that. I am slowly getting functional again. So if he won some stuff last month, it might get there before Christmas. If not, whatever, you get some cool after Christmas gifts. And of course, I don't think he could help me with this, but let's say he had a tweaked shoulder or something instead of a recurring broken wrist problem. You could go see a buddy Mark at Recovery and Repair Massage Therapy in East Kilbride, and he could probably work that shoulder kink out for you.
Mm-hmm.
So, not the broken wrist, but thank you everyone for either your Ryan Jack or Kmart roof comparison. It's I get the bit. It's okay.
I really don't think we're in the moral position to have a go at anyone for repetitive joke telling.
No.
Yeah.
He loved that farm.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I don't, and they made him give it up. I think that there are only 7 jokes in the world. And Todd, the reason that you do well is that you're very good at telling 3 of them.
Yes. I know my strengths,
you never stop searching for the fourth.
The 3 I've got locked down, 4 and 5 still pulling in the open mics, 6 and 7 get me thrown out of clubs and canceled. So
my favorite repetitious joke is it a crime joke whenever someone
beautiful life,
you can do, so for instance, at the moment, you can do in Scotland. Is it a crime to want to live in a better world? No, David, it's not. Is it a crime to fight for what you believe in? No, David, it's not. Is it a crime to take £600,000 in donations and spend them on yourself? And yes, it is. And that's where the defense falls down a little bit. And that can work for any. And the fact is, because you're only ever about 20 minutes away from some politician disgracing themselves.
Yeah.
You can always use it.
Speaking of this, because I haven't been on Twitter or anything, because again, I can't hold a phone for more than like 30 seconds. You
lucky bastard.
Yeah. Is Michael Matheson still in the job? Is he still there?
Yep.
Oh, wow. Yeah. How about that?
basically everyone and of all parties are hanging on now because there are, you know, there's Scottish elections this year. There's probably going to be a general election. So they're all just hanging on because a lot of them aren't expecting to be requiring a new job afterwards. So
yeah, I get he could stay as like a MSP and like your little made up government that people pretend like it fucking matters, yeah. but doesn't really. I mean, it's like the Rockford City Council has more power than this guy's government.
Yeah,
like it actually governs something. It does, it's not just made up bullshit.
The states do. I mean, that's not an exaggeration. But you get like quite significantly more money. I think it's like, you know, 40% more an MP than if you're just a backbench MSP. So I think that's one of the reasons why they hang it. But, you know, they're all at it. You know, basically nobody resigns these days unless unless you are literally caught standing over the prostitute with the knife.
Or if you're caught, quote, hiking the Appalachian Trail.
Yeah. That's the season ender of season two of Only Murders in the Building.
Yes.
Yeah. Because of me.
There's something really, to me, evocatively scary about the words Appalachian Trail. I don't know why. Maybe it's the whole Deliverance thing. I don't know, but I got
severely injured hiking a part of the Appalachian Trail.
Of course you did. Yes. Of course you did.
That was the one where I ended up cauterizing my own arm. So yeah, that was
Shane, I know you don't believe in God, but maybe you should, and maybe you should accept that he's telling you not to go outside.
Yeah.
I'm starting, Dave. I feel like I am starting to become more in your mold. Like, I just, like, the past few times, you know, we've gone out to the pub or whatever, I'm just, like, annoyed with people. And all I can think is, like, I'd rather just be at home on my couch drinking beer with the person I actually just want to talk to and not these 30 other people that are bothering the shit out of me at this point. Yeah.
100%, and it does. It happens to all of us eventually. Where you're just, you know, the old joke, and it's true. But all my stuff is there, and particularly if you're a dog person, which you are, and my dog, you know,
my fish are here, my books are here. I've got cool shit all over the place.
If you're a sports fan, and again, which you are, and I am, then there's generally something onto it. Oh, I can't believe we didn't mention this. The worst game of football, American. In brackets ever took place at the weekend. Did you see it?
I'm trying to
may well have missed the highlights for this match because they lasted 4 seconds, and I am not exaggerating when I say this. As you guys know, I am a follower of an NFL team. My NFT is the
who if I remember correctly, the last time we got together had just played the worst football game in history against the Bears.
No, this wasn't the worst performance. This was the worst game of all time. The final score after 4 quarters, 1 hour of actual football, but you know, 3.5.
It's only about 12 minutes of actual football, but yeah.
But Minnesota Vikings took on the whatever they're from this week, Raiders. Right?
Yeah.
And the final score, and you're going to think, did they take them on at British style football?
Right.
Was the Minnesota Vikings 3?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
The wherever they're from this week, Raiders 0.
Yeah. Right.
That is not an American football score. That's a football score.
We played a higher scoring game on Saturday.
Yes, we did.
Yeah.
Where you don't get 7 points for a 3-0, one fucking field goal. These two teams owe me 3 hours of my life back.
So it's college football bowl season now, and Tennessee is back in the Citrus Bowl. If we throw back to Steve Spurrier when he was, you know, throwing Peyton Manning around like a wet tracksuit in the late 90s. Right. Famously never beat Florida in 4 years at Tennessee. But Spurrier's great quote was that you can't spell citrus without UT. And Tennessee is back in the Citrus Bowl
right
this year playing Iowa, right. Who Iowa played a you know, the University of Iowa. They played a college mm-hmm. football game at Wrigley Field this year, I think against nice. Northwestern.
Right.
And it was the fifth highest scoring game at Wrigley Field this year.
Oof.
Now, the other four are obviously baseball games where you're much like yes. you get one run for crossing the plate. Mm-hmm. Yes, they played the fifth highest. I love this fucking Iowa team because they can't do anything on offense and they have like the best punter in the world. Like, this kid is fucking amazing to watch and he gets to kick the ball all the fucking time. It's great. Right. And now we get to play him for our last game of the season on January 1st. So mm-hmm. I'm running through the ways that we can lose this.
Right.
All of them are about as embarrassing as the Vikings Raiders game from this weekend.
Yeah. I want to go back to this. You can't spell citrus without UT. You also can't spell citrus without UTI, which can...
Conveniently, Iowa is the other team. Yeah. So there you go.
Yes. So that's more of a cranberry juice type thing. If you had the cranberry bowl. Then.
Yeah. Well, shit, there was a cranberry bowl. Where was that?
Wasn't one? There?
Yeah.
See, that show, not only entertaining, but educational.
Educational. Yeah.
Yo, speaking of educational, Todd, I found there's a I don't follow a lot of new Twitter accounts anymore because one, you know, the website's just falling apart. And
yes.
Two, it's, you know, I don't need more content in my life at this mm-hmm. age. You know,
if anything, the opposite.
I want less.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
But I stumbled across one on a Canadian land that's at Vaxxers Anti. It goes by AVK.
And AVK.
Yes. And all he does is scour Facebook for the, the crazy people. And one of the ones that he found.
So this is like a Carrie Fail meltdown.
Yes. But
for anti-vaxxers.
Yeah. And with a little bit more production value. The guy takes some time, you know. But there was one from last week. It was thoughts on the Simpsons predictions. Right. Because this is the kind of crossover content that we're looking for here.
Indeed.
The very first person who goes by the name Sincere.
Okay.
Doubt that's her real name. I feel like the writer, right? Mm-hmm. The writer for all the Simpsons. I feel like the writer is a Freemason / Illuminati and they are in on it. Why else would they know this much detail? Dude ain't a psychic. I don't feel like that power off of him. All I feel is cold blood reptilians.
Right.
Okay. Harmony. Okay. Harmony, another name. I guess that one's slightly more realistic. The writer is a 33rd degree Mason.
Nice.
Every event is planned in advance in line with the planets, moons, and stars. I don't even.
I hate to disappoint people, as you guys know, right? But listen, love. I know fucking loads of Masons. Right? I do. I know loads of Masons. And they don't know what's going to happen in the future. Because if they did, they can't even predict that Rangers are going to be disappointing.
Yeah.
And you do not need to be in the Illuminati.
Right.
To predict that Rangers are going to annoy fuck out you over the course of a season. So I don't think that they share with every Mason what's going to happen.
No.
I might be wrong there. Maybe the really senior ones like Mr. T and Orville and... The top level stone cutters. Maybe they share with them, but they don't do it with a rank and file. Or at least if they do, they don't tell me. And they tell me most things, so...
Not that we alien. It's the, you know, the other guys.
No, the council is Jack Nicholson, Mr. T and Orville.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, we learned that. And George H.W. Bush, of course.
I want to give you one more thing. This account, again, very good at highlighting the trends. And apparently one of the big things right now is these anti-vaccine fucking nut jobs are all snorting piss.
Lovely.
Yeah, no, they're like pissing. Well, one, they'll either like they age it, right? Because totally normal. And then they will either use like a dropper thing to do it like under their tongue.
Sure.
Or they will put it in, you know, like the nose spray, those things that you carry yeah. around. And yeah.
So, there's a reason that your wiener and your bunghole are that far from your body.
Well, also, there's a reason that your body is expelling it.
Yeah. If God really wanted to make this work, he put them on the soles of your feet. Like, that's how you do it.
Yeah, so at one point in this, you know, he goes through these urine therapy is what they call. Does urine therapy cure ulcers and HIV positive?
Oh, boy.
Rich, our buddy Rackshack, again, they all have insane names. Clean genitals and fully body with urine cloth. Insert fresh urine into both nostrils daily. Change in diet, which avoids spicy food and citric items. That will cure your HIV, folks. So, yeah.
Well, yeah, look, I'm just a great believer that anytime I expel urine, it should go mm-hmm. into a frothing bowl of China, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. it should then be sent to the coast or to be recycled. That's kind of right. the arrangement. If you are daft enough to do that. See, if you're into that, right? Yeah. It's not for me, but I'm not here to kink shame, right? Yeah. At least just be honest and say, you know, I quite like, you know, piss on, but don't try and say that it's a health benefit. Yeah. Although,
cut to Magic Johnson with a rag. What's up?
Yeah. There was a British actress called Sarah Miles who, the one thing, you know how you get these celebrities that there's one thing everybody knows about them, like Kirsty MacColl, boat accident. That kind of thing, the one thing everyone knows about them. The one thing everyone knew about her was she drank her own piss because she said it had health benefits. It didn't. It doesn't.
No.
Jesus Christ, mine's the way it smells, it warns you.
Right. Like, yeah. Just to make clear, so, you know, in case anybody's confused, the only time it would ever be acceptable to drink your own piss is if you're stuck in a raft in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, mm-hmm. and even then, you should probably just die.
Or right? or just walking across the desert, Better Call Saul style.
Yeah, mm. yeah,
yeah. I tend to think it's better to just any you know. Bodily
I
waste.
Would rather just die. I mean, if it came to that point, I just no, like I'm no, done. Just,
yeah, I've never saw the attraction. No, yeah. And certainly snorting liquid is a bad idea. Just full stop.
I've snorted whiskey before. That was
wouldn't do that again. No. That's fucking stupid.
No, it's bad. Yeah.
don't do that.
That's how you get pneumonia, kids.
the stupidest sort of ingesting. We talked about this last week with contact lenses, and actually, a friend reminded me when I said, "Oh, I just do not put anything in my eye." And a friend got in touch with me and he said, David, do you not remember when we were at school, we bought acid, LSD, from our local dealer, and it was the blotting paper. And the dealer had actually said to us, oh, by the way, you get higher if you put it in your eyeball. And I'm like, what? And I'm like, he's like, no, it's scientific. Put it on your eyeball and it ingests. And so I put it on my eyeball and it hurt like fuck. And I got high, but not particularly higher than I would have expected to get had I just taken it orally. But I mean, there was always that rumor about Stevie, again, educational as well as,
right.
as entertaining. Yeah. There's always that rumor in the 70s that Stevie Nicks, because she would put so much cocaine up her nostril, that one of the roadies' jobs was when she ran off stage.
Basically, a cocaine fluffer.
Yes.
Was to put cocaine in her asshole.
Right.
Because again, you ingest it quicker. Firstly, I don't know if that is true, but I think we all want it to be. And secondly, right. What a fucking job.
Right?
Oh my God. I bet you they had fucking plenty of applicants for that one. Although I would love to see how they put that ad into the weekly job section.
Melody Maker.
That reminds me of my favorite show business joke. Stop me if I've told this one on here.
We won't. You listen to every joke like it's the first time you've heard it. That's the rules of the show.
This guy runs away to join the circus, and his entry level job is to before they go out into the center ring, he has to shove a broom handle up the asses of the performing elephants so that they shit before instead of shitting out in front of the crowd. And cool. So his first day of work, he's got, you know, the papa one up front, the mama one, and then a little baby one. So he starts at the back and he shoves the broom handle up the baby elephant's ass and pulls it out, shit all over his shoes. He goes, oh, welcome to show business. Here we go. It goes over to the mama, slightly larger. She lifts up, shoves the broom handle up there, pulls it out, covered in shit from the waist down. Just like, Jesus, what did I do? Why am I doing this? And he goes to the front. There's the papa elephant, and he shoves the broom handle up the elephant's ass. And the elephant turns around and goes, how's the house?
I didn't think we'd be getting elephant anal insertion jokes today. Right. That's the beauty of the crow pod.
It is. It just ebbs and flows into all kinds of occupational hazards.
Absolutely. But I don't think I'd have been a very good circus performer. To be honest, I'm one of these people who loves animals at a distance, you know? Like, mm-hmm. Although I think, you know, if I went to the zoo, I'd be sort of like, it weed a bit and some of it went near me. You know, that kind of guy. I think it's just not for me. my stepdaughter actually went to one of these, she volunteered at a retreat for a week with the elephants, and it did look cool as fuck. You know, she was like walking about with them and...
Nah, whatever.
What does she do? Yeah. She's
just,
very beautiful.
Just what? Nah, never. But it's gonna be one of these. I'm gonna get pissed off at a young person irrationally.
Yeah, no, she's mildly annoyed. She has her own business that can be done. Doesn't need to be in one location.
There you go.
It's not anything illegal, by the way. Before anyone gets excited, as I pointed out before, she is an absolute. My stepdaughter is a wonderful reminder of how unfair the world is and how even in 2023 we're not a logical species yet. Lauren gets a lot of opportunities because she is stunning looking, right? And men, because we are weak-minded and we are easily distracted by gorgeous women, will fall over themselves to do things for her. So, you know, wherever she goes, she always, like, somebody said to her, oh, you make a lot of friends. She went, I'm just lucky that way. You fucking are.
Weird, huh?
I turn up in these same places with my fucking sparkling wit and amazing repartee. Are they doing this shit for me? Are they fucked? Why? Because I look like a desiccated testicle. And therefore, they are not going to do that for me. Right, it's fucking. And, oh, I do. I look like a snooker ball that's given up on life, and that is why life is unfair. Whereas she walks into a place, and I've seen it. I've actually seen it happen. You know, where she's been with me, and I've walked up to total disinterest, and then she arrives, and suddenly they can't do enough for you in a restaurant or whatever. I've seen it happen. It's so unfair. But she did a week at one of these animal. Preserves things. It was elephants and and it's funny though because I always thought I'd like to have touched an elephant. You know, I just thought it'd be a cool thing they've done. But then I said to my dad, I'd like to touch an elephant, and you know, I haven't. And he said, no, you actually have. And I said, oh. And he said, yeah, when we were kids, we took you to the circus, and there was an elephant, and you went over and patted it. And I was like, right. Well, I don't remember touching that elephant. And I think that had touching an elephant been as good as I think touching an elephant would be, then
you
I
would clearly remember
touching
that
Absolutely,
elephant.
Absolutely, you'd remember
but
that.
But as I don't remember touching that elephant, it probably turns out that touching an elephant isn't as memorable as touching an elephant is supposed to be.
No. Right. I think that, you know, I mean, they're just mammals. I don't know.
Yeah. No, it's true.
It's like a big cow with less hair. My medicine's starting to wear off. But we got a lot of questions, so let's rack through these. I think people actually responded in kind. Mm-hmm. Thank you all very much. Neil Buchanan wants to know. Starting off here after the great website debacle, which again, David, you can we both understand why it happened, but you know it's just one more in the 0 days of nonsense for Rangers. So. On the grounds that this can't get any more embarrassing than it already is, should Bisgrove throw in the opportunity to pose with Lana Wolf holding the League Cup next Monday?
If you give them ideas, they'll take it. Don't
quippy joke it. Here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't.
Yeah, I think it's David said. Look, just don't.
Don't
mention
like
his
that.
Name with weird don't. Ideas.
Yeah. Because right.
He will do them.
People will take, you know, at the end of the day, I think we have to understand, and this is difficult for people our age, right? Scottish football now is the equivalent of what the fucking League of Ireland was when we were growing up, right? It's shit. There's no fucking money in it, right? And yet we have to try and somehow compete. So, like, what were we talking about the other week? The fucking new English Premiership deal was worth $7 billion over 4 years. Yeah. Ours is worth $150 million over five. Right.
Well, I think their baseline television revenue is basically our whole turnover.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what they get.
More. You get $150 million.
Just for their domestic contract, not even the international.
The team who finishes 20th in the EPL get $170 million, which is almost bigger than the combined turnover of Rangers and Celtic. Turnover, not profit. No, turnover. Yeah. Right. We are fucked. Okay. We don't like to admit it, but we are fucked. Right. Mm-hmm. Our game in Scotland. It's very good though.
We definitely need to keep listening to people like Roger Mitchell who put us in this position.
Yeah. They're the guys to listen to. But over and above everything else. So if you mention ideas that can generate revenue, of course they're going to take you up on them. So just don't. But I think it is just going to get worse and worse and worse. And not just for us, by the way. Sorry to be serious for a minute. I think if you're in the Dutch league, if you're in the Portuguese league, et cetera, they're pretty reliant on transfers, aren't they? And if they don't have transfers, their league goes the same. It's just, this is the way of the world. Money talks, and there isn't a league in the world, incidentally, that don't dread the EPL. As we, doesn't this happen every summer? You see a player has moved to like someone like Nottingham Forest or Bournemouth, and you go, how the fuck?
Yeah, for like £43 million.
For 45 million budget. And it's like, they had Bournemouth beat off interest from AC Milan. Yeah. And,
he's reportedly on £180,000 a week or something.
And it's like, Bournemouth should not be beating players ahead of AC Milan. AC Milan should not be forced to sell their best fucking player to Newcastle, although, as it turned out, maybe AC Milan knew something Newcastle didn't.
Are you saying Italians might have advanced knowledge of a gambling scandal?
Very
xenophobic of you.
They got him out of Dodge a bit quickly, didn't they? Their best player and guy who'd signed a contract and wanted to stay there his whole career. But it's just going to get worse. And until such times as the EPL juggernaut, and I've been hearing, by the way, that bubble is going to burst for 31 years now.
Every single time they sign a new TV contract. Well, see, I hate this shit too, because we go through it over here. Like, there's the NFL. People are always like, Major League Baseball is going. Major League Baseball's revenue has grown year over year over year over year every single year since 1995.
Yeah.
Right. It makes more. And the people that own all the teams, guess what? They all become billionaires from owning the fucking teams, right? It's not the money is not going away ever. TV ratings are down. No shit, because everybody's watching online. Nobody fucking cares. Just stop. They're all very rich. They're going to, the very rich people are not doing this thing because it costs them money.
Right? No. Tell the listeners, Shane, then about the contract this week.
The Shohei Ohtani contract?
Yep.
Is that I think, what was he on? $680 million, I think. Something like that. He's going to get paid, he's got a $2 million bonus. So Shohei Ohtani is the...
$680 million.
That's fucking incredible baseball player, right? I mean, I you can't really quantify... I don't know that there's a comparison in modern football.
Really?
Because he's not only... Well, it'd be like if Messi was also, I don't know, like Chiellini or something that is prime, like
everything. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But no, yeah, he's got this deferred deal. So like he's only getting paid $2 million for now, which obviously, that's awful. But they've deferred all this money throughout the thing to Well, basically, I've talked about how the tax schemes that American sports teams use. You can take all your player contracts and their what do you call it? The depreciated value. You can write off on your taxes, right? And so you hide all this fucking this tax relief in these contracts. So $680 million. So
it's all right, isn't it? you know.
Yeah. But the thing is, you know, like right now, so if you look at WAR, which is wins above replacement, right? Which is kind of like an all-encompassing statistic. And for right now, for every win above replacement, your value is about $5.5 million. He's consistently around 10 to 12 in WAR because he's not only one of the best pitchers in the game, he's also one of the best hitters in the game. So, that makes him worth about $60 million a year in today's money, not, you know, fancy next generation money. But.
No, I mean, baseball's doing that badly.
Yes. Baseball's doing awful that this guy is getting nearly $750 million to play.
Yeah.
Although the Dodgers have like the pretend money fucking thing going on out there.
Yes. I thought it was cute that Toronto had a play there.
Oh yeah.
It was so cute. It's like,
well, everybody had to. Like, you know, right. I mean, the Mariners just didn't try because winning 54% of your games is good enough. That's all you're trying. Oh god damn it. Fuck this. I'm going to get pissed off about baseball now. Neil also wanted to add for me to stay in the U.S. because my injuries would finish off the NHS.
Yes, that's true.
Derek Miller wants to know, given my injury record, exactly which house in Illinois do I live in? Of course, the inference being that I'm in the house from Home Alone all the time.
I was watching Home Alone the other week, right? And I have to say, his dad, Kevin's dad, had to be in the mafia because that is a fuck off big house.
It is a nice one.
But you could actually afford, you know, you could be like a mid-level person and buy a house like that. Remember like 30 years ago when, you know, you could buy houses, right? Yeah. I think we talked about this in the first half of the show. You know, the thing is, I almost never get hurt at home. This is it. It's when I leave the house.
Yeah,
I'm reconsidering your whole position on life here.
Because I'm not, right, you know. I hate to say it, but it's true. It's everything's here and it's nice, and there aren't any people you don't like, which is a big help, and you're less likely to get hurt.
Nikki just adds, my health insurance company must hate me. And the joke there is that you think I can actually fucking afford health insurance. Out of your fucking mind.
Oof.
Gordon wants to know, with the amount of injuries you have, God damn it. I'm just wondering when you're actually out of contract at Rangers. I don't know. I mean, you know, I could probably work a new deal out of this somehow. Like, David, just start slipping my name into news conferences and stuff. And I think I'll probably get offered a contract. They'll be like, oh, shit, he's going to be out of contract in the summer. We better sign him now.
So what about this? If I was to go, right, tell me today then, Philippe. Shane, how things at Shane? That one.
Yeah, I saw today. There's already people like, we need to lock down Butlin on a contract extension, blah, blah, blah. It's like he's signed through 2027 already when he'll be, what, 35, 34, 35? Right. Did we not learn the lesson from the last goalie, right? Exactly. We need to have, like, a plan to move on from them around that age, not, you know, rely on the guy till he's 40 and can't fucking bend over anymore.
No, like he's on a 4-year deal anyway. I don't mean
that's the thing. Like, what are you talking about? I mean, again, if an English club comes in and wants to offer us £35 million, you take it. Like, this is the point of what we have to do. You sign good players, for very little money, and then you turn around and sell them. That's quality. Now, I know they keep saying it, but it's kind of like the three amigos, like. I don't think they know what the word means, but they keep saying this player trading model thing, right? You know, we've heard Bennett say it and Bisgrove and all of them. Pretty sure they don't understand the concept. But if that's what you're going to do, then selling players like Jack Butlin is something that you have to do. And then you have to have a replacement plan, you know, like continuation plan. Who is the next? Get your fucking spreadsheet out, you fuckwit, and find the next goalie.
Right. This raises up a cool point that I think David, I think, should be a part of. Back in the old We Are the People days, I was going to be on TV for something, and the boys on the pod wanted me to go on to this thing. I think it was like on Canadian Business News Network or something. and they wanted me to use like some Rangers appropriate phrase at that point, like simply the best or something. It's like whatever. And so I went on and I had to do this. And I think David should have to do this. It's like, you know, with the continuing injuries with Raskin and with Kamar Roof and Shane Nicholson, could you tell us what the plans are for these?
I think,
if he gives like a value for Shane. Oh, Shane, 6 months, you know.
Yeah, I think this works.
I think we used to give, Chris, you know, back when Chris was on telly like every fucking four minutes in 2012 and 13. Right. We would constantly feed him lines that he had to say. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to Chris's credit, I think he hit about 90% of them. Like, he would go. Yeah, I mean, some of them we'd give him were so fucking ridiculous that, like, he'd have to go way the hell out of his way on the point he was trying to make just to, like, drop in a how no or something like that. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, swing it all the way back around. It's like, oh.
Martin did a thing for RTV the other week about Rangers goalkeepers, I think, and about Rod. No, it was about Rod Wallace. And he went on to talk about it. So, you know, they put it up on Erskine. He was very, very happy. But then he saw it and he came back and went, did the camera add £100? And I was like, I don't think you look that bad, mate. He's like, oh, for fuck's sake, you look at it. And I thought, mate, I don't think you look that bad. But you know that way that when you see yourself, you just do it.
Yeah.
Do I look like that? he wasn't desperate. He's like, no, that's it. Jim joined, starting running in the new year and everything. And I was like, oh, fair enough, you don't look that bad. But apparently he thought he did.
Right.
Let's see. Stu wants to know. Oh, you know, God damn, I don't know why. It's just working in, you know, newsrooms and design centers and shows. Like, the amount of times that we would slip jokes in the headlines that were just entirely inside baseball shit. Right, so, like, you know, like a newspaper in fucking New Milford, Connecticut would have a one-liner about a joke that we were passing around a design center fucking 1,000 miles away. Sue wants to know, how far are we away from kids visiting injured Rangers players in hospital at Christmas?
Oh, God. Yeah, I mean, well,
here's little Timmy, 9 years old, has childhood cancer. It's awful. But, Tamar, he wanted to come shed some light on your life and make you feel better.
Wheels in, looks at Raskin and goes, dude.
The thing is, I always thought, well, you know, all clubs get injuries. And the difference, and the thing that's made me realize it is that, firstly, new manager coming in, you know, with honest eyes and... Yeah, and you look at things, and he's clearly, this is nuts. And you look at Newcastle at the moment, I've got a mad injury crisis. The difference is theirs will clear up.
Yeah.
Ours hasn't for 35 years. So,
Well, I think we all thought, like, when Pip left, we're like, okay, it's finally over. And it's just like, no, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Yeah,
well, if you sign guys who are injured a lot and they get injured a lot, it can't really be that bad.
Yeah, you can't be too shocked at that one.
It's not like
if Ryan Jack decides to keep, you know, like every toucher decides to keep playing for fucking the Scottish national team for reason. Because I'd they're be gonna end his career.
I'd be stunned if he didn't, because they're going to the Euros. He'll want to go to that. And let's face it, he's not getting
kicked. Oh, no, I'm sure he will. But, I mean,
so he's not going to jack
it. It's going to take 4 years off his
earning career. A lot of top players, you know, they have to make that decision. And he has, but, you know, clearly he hasn't. What I would say is, Kamar Roof, if you're listening, score a couple of goals on Sunday and win us the cup. And then you can have the rest of the year off. I'm not even bothered.
Or you know, like if you pick up a late one in the Old Firm or something like that, you know, whatever. Just one.
Yeah, yeah. When is these two matches, and then
do
what you like. And I promise I won't complain about being injured once after that if he does that.
Yeah. Well, C. Fletch 972 here is, how in the name of net zero do we find ourselves in a title race? And if we do overtake them by the end of the month with Lammers and Dessers, is Big Phil actually Harry Potter?
They're not very good.
This is the thing. You know, we don't really talk about it much on this show, obviously, because talking about Rangers gets depressing. I mean, let's be honest. You know, and David, me and you do it quite a bit. Todd, you don't have to do it as much as we do. But, you know, it wears on you mentally.
Yes. Right?
But, I mean, me and Danny have discussed this repeatedly on some of the other programs in the Crow Pod, which is the fact that the wheels are fucking coming off of that thing over there.
Mm-hmm.
And if the people in charge of Rangers do not take advantage of that, right? We had the chance with the 55 season.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we cut the head off of that fucking thing, and then we let them right back in the door. Mm-hmm. Right? These chances don't come up that often.
When you listen to Martin's dominant show, it's the same thing. It's a loop in history, right?
You have to
taking advantage.
It's here now. And the other thing too is if we win the league, there's a very good chance that we're a pot two Champions League team next year in the expanded Champions League, which is worth even more money. Mm-hmm. And despite what Stuart Robertson used to say, it doesn't actually cost you money to go play in the Champions League. There isn't like a fee that, you know, all these clubs aren't lining up to play in it year after year after year after year because they're losing money doing it. Again, if a football club keeps doing things, it's because they're earning money from it, right? I mean, it's a pretty simple concept. So winning the league is a guaranteed Champions League place and possibly in a pot two spot. That's pretty good for business.
Not bad. You know,
that's something that we really need to concentrate on doing. And the fact that we are... What is it? 5 points with a match in hand, right?
Yes.
So yeah. So I mean, if we beat them, then it's insane. I mean, there's absolutely none of us sitting here the first week of September. Even we're going, this is going to be a title race on Boxing Day. Like, no way.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Let's see. Blues Brothers. See, this isn't even a question. Shane is the roof of Heart and Hand on much less money. I'm not of Heart and Hand. All right, you asshole. Pay attention. And two, when I ask you for a question, don't just bag on me. Right? Nice. I'm already hurting over here. It's painful.
This is like when those new material nights come up and they give you the topic as like you want to be first so that you can burn everyone else's material before they burn yours. You know?
No, everybody's the same. But, you know, it's so bad, like trying to light a cigarette because it's my right hand. I'm so fucking right hand dominant. Right. Like the only thing I can do with my left hand is like catch a baseball and like play guitar. You know, it's just muscle memory shit. Yeah. If it's any kind of fine motor skill whatsoever, can't do it.
Right.
And I felt like I was trying to light a cigarette and I couldn't hold the lighter in my right hand. And I'm sitting there looking like a fucking, you know, one of those kids that has to go to the special classroom midway through the day, trying to like function this Bic in my left hand. It took me 8 tries to light a goddamn dart. I mean, this has been so demoralizing.
It's not easy being Shane. That's the title of this week's show. It's not easy being paid.
I think we've had that one before.
You're probably right, actually.
Let's see. Fisher wants to know if the tragically hip is the answer. What is the question?
What band has their fans waiting a long time for the next release?
What sort of clothes will David be buying this Christmas from a website that's far too young for him?
And as I say that joke, they actually have put up one or two albums, at least one, post the death of Gord Downie. It's called Saskadelphia, I believe it is, and it is great. It's like a collection of like unreleased and B-sides and stuff, and it's got some really great tunes.
Death doesn't stop you releasing stuff. Tupac, Kurt Cobain, Amy Winehouse doesn't stop you. John Beatles. Lennon, Jesus, Death is not the handicap it once was.
No, honestly, Tom Petty's live catalog has gotten a hell of a lot better since.
Great. Warren Zevon's the same. Warren Zevon's the same. Yeah, some great live recordings. Yeah. I don't see that being an issue.
Let's see. Last one. Rich wants to know. I guess this one's for me. Okay, between the old man yells at cloud and smashing my wrist to absolute fuck, how well did I take the AGM questions last week? Specifically, will Rangers be net zero?
I got a lecture of someone who told me, David, you dismissed this. It's quite important. you know, if people.
I'm not going to say it's not important, but you know, again, as me and Danny stress, and, you know, we did the show with Andy McKellar, everybody's a good old friend there, like right before the AGM. This is a forum to ask pertinent questions about the operations of the football club in terms of the most important aspect of the football club, which is how we perform on the fucking pitch. Mm-hmm. You can ask and go have a meeting about net zero some other fucking time. Right? Save your performative liberal. And look, I'm as liberal as you fucking get. Save your performative liberal bullshit for a one-on-one meeting with this Grove or whoever.
Well, right. I don't think that particular guy's going to get one-on-one meeting. Oh, no. Anyone who reads this. Here's the thing, right? Here is the thing, right? And I will explain after years it's taken me, over 40 years, to actually come to this realization. But I've done it in the last couple of years. I'm going to share it with you and I'm going to share it with the listeners. Yeah. It does make your life a lot calmer. And a lot of this, by the way, people ask me, why are you so calm about stuff like this? A lot of this is post-recovery stuff, because one of the things they teach you when you're trying to kick, drink, drugs, whatever, is that you can't get too uptight about stuff you can't control.
Yes. Right.
Right, because that's one of the reasons that we drink. So that, if you're ever wondering why I'm quite calm about stuff, like, I'll be fucking raging if we don't win on Sunday night enough, and I can't control that. But yep. Here's the thing. Twitter, Rangers Twitter, does not think the same as Rangers shareholder at AGM questioners, who do not think the same as the Rangers away support, who go every week, who do not think the same as people who post on follow, who do not think the same as people who post on Rangers Facebook pages, who do not think the same, to bring it right back round again, as Rangers Twitter. And this is why this always happens at AGMs. It took me years to realize it. People are, despite knowing what sort of questions are going to be coming, because we have got, well, fuck, every year of my lifetime, we've got proof of what sort of questions are coming. And people on Twitter go, we need this and this and this to be asked, right? And then they get disappointed when it isn't asked. It's like, they're not going to ask that. In much the same way as the people who are going to ask the questions are not going to post the same stuff that you post on here. Yeah. It's just completely different ideas of what is important and what they want. And you see it as well where you get, you know, people complain about the Union Bears. It's like, well, you're not, you know, it's not your thing. Right, they think differently. You, they think that this particular way is the way to go. You think it's that particular way. It's because there are fucking hundreds of thousands of us. And people are awkward fuckers who all have their own interpretations of things. And I did my best. And you know, Shane, you're similar with the Crow Pod. We've tried to show the light of what is right. Okay, we've told you the correct opinions for years now, but you insist on having your own, right? You insist upon adding your own twist into it. Whereas if you just said...
Canada has own laws, traditions.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Whereas, you know, we've said, so I've kind of given up now on telling people, because it's like... But the night before the AGM, people said, this needs to be asked. David, do you think this will be asked? I was like, no, it won't be. I didn't see net zero coming. That even was left field for me, right? I'll give them that. I didn't see a five-minute discussion about Spanish... property followed up by an invite to a romantic dinner to the CEO. I did not see that coming, right?
Right.
But
it's the most Alan fucking moment.
Jesus Christ. It's the most, I didn't see those things coming, right? But every year, and see next year at the AGM, and I think after a while I just get a bit kind of, you know, fed up with the pantomime. Next year on Twitter going at the AGM, people will say, we need to ask this, we need to ask that, this must be asked, right? And they're not going to buy a share and go themselves, right, to ask the question. They're going to rely on the people who go every year and ask questions that they don't like. And then they're going to be surprised and disappointed that the people who always ask questions they don't like asked questions they don't like. It's in Britain at this time of year, we have pantomimes. Scottish football is the fucking biggest one going, and we're a part of that, unfortunately. We are Dick Whittington, right? We are Cinderella. That's Scottish football in a fucking nutshell. But yeah, it took me years to realise that there are so many disparate you know, opinions and whatnot, that they all, when we come together in one place and say we should all think like this, it's never ever going to happen. No. So the advice remains, as we've always said to people, if you're unhappy about, you know, there's no fans group, form one. If you're unhappy about the questions at the AGM from shareholders, become a shareholder and ask one. If you are upset about the quality of podcasts, make your own one, etc., etc. If you, you know, if you really want it to change, because that's the only way it will change. And even then, it might not. Look at me. I tried for years to get stuff to change and fuck all happened. So all I can say is do that. But yeah, I love the ideas that, you know, one, this year will be different this year. Right? No, it fucking won't. Okay. It just won't.
No, water's wet.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to ask about the burgers.
Yeah. And can I just say, Shane, you know, if you ever want to come and stay in my spare room so you can see the difficulties experienced by the average Rangers fan in pottering about his house, you are more than welcome to. I just want to, as apparently that's what we're doing this weather.
Right? Oh God. All right. Onion shit. I don't know. Who's ready to go?
I'll go. Yep. I will first start with the reductress. Huh. Mascara called Better Than Sex didn't stick a finger in my ass. And this one I find quite cute. Under local news, single aunt's cheeky request for a boyfriend for Christmas growing more and more depressing with each passing year.
I sent you to this one, but I loved it so much I'm going to go with it. Yes. Candidate spend GOP debate trying to hogtie greased up nude man representing woke mind virus. And I urge everyone to go look at this because the picture alone is worth it.
They're photoshops lately, as we've seen.
Because there is a greased up nude guy running around a debate platform. And the last line of it just makes it where it says, commentators agreed that no one had won the debate as the greasy news man slipped away into the night.
No notes. White man can't help but think Spanish music playing a department store is talking about him.
Yep.
Well, we've all been there. I just want to do it because this is an insert into sort of my, you know, why I'm a dick, basically, right? And there was a headline that said, "Cool guy kept up all night by intrusive memories of all the times he was awesome." And one time when I was going to work, I was listening to music on my, and this is the only area in which I think I am awesome, a perfect musical days. But I was listening to music on my iPhone. And I actually had to sit down for a moment and reflect on how awesome I am. Good. Because the music that was playing was just so fucking great. Song after song after song that I actually did. I just felt, I think it's what Christians experience when they feel, you know, overflow with love of the Lord. I just felt overflowed with, you know, gratitude, but also, fuck, that's awesome. You know, the only area of my life, just in case anyone thinks, oh, yes, very arrogant, David. No, it's the only area of my right, but I am right about music.
I'd also flagged up Israel assures it doing everything possible to minimize civilians.
Straight to the point there. It's one of these things, isn't it, that you notice whenever wars last a certain period, is that the way the rest of the world all goes, yeah, right, we're not going to get involved in this. And
no, that's the thing. You know, like everybody had to rush and have opinions of it. Like, one, you don't look. No offense, right? I've read a lot of books about this shit, but was I out there talking about this? No. You know why? Don't need to. What the fuck does my opinion mean to any of this? But correct. Two, you're not going to care in 2 months. Correct. Just like you don't fucking post about the Ukraine anymore. Or sorry, Ukraine. Mm-hmm. Don't call it the
right.
You know, you don't. I don't see you fucking still going on about this unless you're bitching about, like, I don't know, Yale taking away Israeli couscous or whatever the fuck it is. I mean, it's just Oh, God.
Right. To be fair, those three presidents basically said it was all right to call for the eradication of all Jews. Now, there is a line, and that one was crossed in the 30s.
Cross, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's what they said. You know,
this is the only comment I'm going to make on all this stuff, right? Some of the people that are suddenly aligned, right, was like, you know, let's take a look at who the political voices were that were supporting people that were out shouting Jews will not replace us while carrying torches through towns.
Right. Right. Yes.
Are the same people that you want to line up with now. Think about it. You don't have to go back that far, folks.
No.
Why can't we all just get along?
Exactly.
Another great Simpsons moment, just to close with, when Homer's fighting Dredderick Tatum. Dredderick Tatum comes to the ring to Eye of the Tiger, mm-hmm. and Homer comes to the ring to Why Can't We Be Friends?
Yeah. Oh, God. All right, that's it. That'll wrap it up. We've got, everybody, if you're traveling, well, I guess everybody will be leaving today or tomorrow, right? So if you're going to Spain, be safe, have fun. Hopefully, mm-hmm. you know, let's do something there since... we can't handle Cypriots at home.
Nope.
But yeah, I mean, honestly, I don't. Whatever. We go to the Conference League. Maybe we could go win that. But let's look. We gotta fucking win on Sunday, right?
Exactly.
Yes,
we gotta do this thing. I mean, it's just it set the mode and the tempo and everything.
Shane, the whole rest of the season. I need to see a Rangers player waving something silver at me. It's like Halloween night, and I've been jonesing for it for fucking years. So come on, and I'm not alone there.
I don't understand it. You know, David, and there's some guys in heart and hand that, and I'm not, you know, whatever. But like, don't be accepting of the fact that we don't win everything anymore. Because that's not right. No. That's not what we do.
Yeah, I'm not that guy.
No, you're not.
I need silver things waved at me. I need people in silly hats dancing around.
Confetti. Blue, white, and red confetti.
I need all of this, and Sunday is an opportunity to start doing it more regularly. No, we have to win. Mm-hmm. Have to win.
Well, and again, I will say this again, in case somebody in like the UAE or Saudi Arabia or whatever is like, I don't care about your sport washing. If you want to come spend £300, by all fucking means, go ahead. I don't give a shit.
The just opinions raised by Shane are only those of Shane and do not necessarily represent those of the rest of the Crowpod.
Yeah, I was good. No, I don't really care.
Yeah, I mean, morally, it'd be
terrible. Oh, but
God, I would say, take your money and spend it on good football. I would say, and I would not deviate from that because, hey, listen, nobody who listened to the Crow Pod for this long cannot know I'm a big fucking hypocrite. So,
we said it when the Newcastle thing. By all means, I don't give a fuck. Spend your money here. Don't care. Yeah. Come
to Rangers.
If some Russian oligarch trying to flee, you know, Putin because he's whatever, please go ahead.
Russian oligarchs is so 2010.
Yeah, he's right. It's oil money these days, mate. It's oil money. Yeah, but
or you've got the right wing American like hedge fund manager guys.
Yeah,
I would even take one of them. Hate them all. Don't care. Spend your money. Yeah.
Spend your money. Come if you are an evil billionaire with lots of money who wants to restore your reputation, and you buy us success, I will restore your reputation to fuck.
Rangers, brought to you by Pharma Bro. Yeah.
Don't
Rangers.
Care.
Rangers, brought to you by Sam Bankman-Fried.
All right, that's it. Like I said, we'll be back next week. I'm not sure what the schedule will look like the week after that, owing to Christmas and everything.
Right.
We'll we're playing 2 weeks today.
Oh, yeah, that's what, yeah. Right. Yeah, because it'll be Boxing Day and then, yeah.
Well, no, so, we're not. We're not. 27th this year, we're not playing.
Oh, that's what, Wednesday.
Because we're playing because they moved a fucking game to the Sunday.
Yeah.
On Christmas Eve, the bastards.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Fuck. Oh, well, whatever. Right. So, we'll figure all that out. I think me and Danny are going to try to get back on and do some more stuff here this week if, you know, I can bother. Oh, God. just like I said, the thought of having to edit the show now and like type.
I'm not being funny. Do you want me to do it?
Nah, I'm not gonna. I gotta work because like I'm starting to get to that feeling of like I'm not doing fucking anything, and that's right. Starting to make me feel bad. You know, I hate
that. I have never had that feeling in my life.
I gotta do something.
No, I cannot identify with that.
He hires dog washers for crying out loud.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
that was such a revealing moment.
I remember when I saw this guy years ago, right? He was a lottery winner. And the lottery hadn't been going here for long, you know, so it was still novel. And they said to him, you know, what are you going to do? And he said, well, you know, buy stuff for my kids and blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And they're like, are you going to give up your job? He said, no, I'm not going to give up my job. And I went, you fucking wanker.
Yeah,
and somebody said to me, it's like, oh, how would you fill the time? I would find a way.
Right. Yes.
Right.
Well, I promise you, I would buy a house out of the middle of fucking nowhere. I would be fishing all day.
Yeah. I would
have the biggest sound system in the fucking world.
Like the one that they used on Manuel Noriega. That one.
Yeah.
I want to be like 6 miles away from my house on my property. It can still hear barely.
When you go into the woods some days, you can still hear Guar.
Sounds like noise coming from the old Shane house. If I'm not mistaken, that'd be the Dream Police.
Oh, God, we're going to see another one of his kids play tomorrow.
There you go.
Robin Taylor Zander, who's one of the younger sons.
Good. And quite good.
He's filled in like Tom Pearson had a heart attack a couple years ago, the bass player.
Oh,
so he fills in for him whenever Tom's not feeling well. So.
All right, okay, cool.
Yeah, we'll
enjoy that, my man.
Yeah,
enjoy
that. Of course, David, you can find on Twitter at IbroxRocks, everything heart and hand. David, thank you.
Pleasure. Thanks, guys.
Yep. Todd, you can find on Twitter at HeyItsTBA. Go, he's got stuff. HeyItsTBA.com. I don't know. You guys, you're doing all your corporate shit right now, aren't you?
I got two public shows this Saturday at Meow That's Hot in the Ottawa Land area, the nation's capital. And Sunday night, I will be at Absolute Comedy on Preston Street. So those are my dates. All
right. There we go. So yeah, HeyItsTBA.com. And like I said, we'll be back. Go check. Please, by the way, last minute Christmas items. Go check out the famous Edward.co.uk, BlueRoomArt.co.uk. We'll be back next Tuesday. Everybody be good. Don't go break your wrist like I fucking did. So we'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Some people call me the space cowboy. Yeah.
You can't even fucking serious at all.